Paul says this, starting at verse 25. He says, "Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." So Epaphroditus is the center of this little section here. We're going to learn who he is, what he was like. But we're going to see that he's closely tied to the church at Philippi and the results that come from that. He describes him in five ways, his character. He says he is my brother. He says he is my fellow worker. He's my fellow soldier. But then, that's Paul's perspective. But then in changing to the Philippians' perception, he says he's your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Now, I'm going to put all these under the idea of character. To be a valued church member, we need the character of Epaphroditus. He was an individual that Paul described as a brother, a fellow worker, a soldier, one who was a messenger and a minister. Are these characteristics true of our lives? But then starting in verse 26, he says, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. We'll fill in a little bit of details concerning that, but he arrives. Do you remember that trip from Philippi to Rome was 600 miles? They didn't fly back then. It was a six-week journey at best. So I don't know if he got sick along the way, got sick when he was there. It could be a physical sickness. It could be he was carrying an offering from Philippi. Not the safest trip to make either. Maybe he suffered along the way in bringing that offering from the church at Philippi. But either way, he was longing for his church back home. And because they heard that he was sick, that made him distressed that they would worry about him. That's the kind of individual he was. For indeed, he was sick almost to death, or almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should sorrow upon sorrow. Paul says, I am just so thankful he didn't die. That would have distressed me as well. But you sense the compassion here in this church member? Yeah, he valued his church. He longed to be with them. He was distressed if they were distressed, even though it was over him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get sick, it's about me. You know, I'll lay on the couch and I'll moan and I'll get all the sympathy I can from Ruth. Matthew gives me none, okay? But I get as much as I can from whoever I can. But here's one that had such compassion for his church that he was distressed that they were distressed. Just a circle going around there. So he was a person of character. He was a person of compassion. Notice, starting at verse 28 there, it says, "Therefore I sent him." Paul's saying, I'm going to send him back to you more eagerly. "And when you see him again, you may rejoice, lest I be more sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." Paul says, you really sent him to minister to me, but I'm going to send him back because of the concern that I have for you as a church. But when you receive him, notice the response of these members getting back together. He says, you receive him with all gladness. And before that, he said that you may rejoice. You get the sense that there's this community amongst Philippi and the members of the church that they missed each other when they were apart, but when they came back together, they rejoiced. They were glad. What kind of church, I know I use this for Romans, but I'm going to use it for this message as well. What kind of church would my church be if everyone in my church were just like me? Would you be like the one that I read in the illustration? Or would you be like Epaphroditus? Fruitful, valued, ones of character and compassion and longing community to be together. not wanting anything to divide that. So let's break this down today. We're going to look at his character. We're going to look at his compassion. We're going to look at his community. And we're going to ask ourselves in the midst of this, am I that kind of a member? Am I a valued church member? So the very first thing he says is Paul addresses is his character. And we already pointed this out, but he was a five characteristics that Paul points out real quick. He was a brother, first of all. Now, I don't think there's a lot of things that we can address in here. Remember, he left Philippi. He was do you know that the word Epaphroditus is a Gentile term? Matter of fact, it's a Greek god. It has the name literally means beauty or handsome. So his parents named him Epaphroditus. My folks wanted to name me that, but they thought it would be a hard name for me to write out as a young age. So that was the only reason that they gave for not giving me that title. But anyway, he was Greek. Remember, Paul's Jewish here, but he calls him a brother. What united the Jew and the Gentile together? Christ. That was what binds us together as a body of Christ, isn't it? When you receive Christ as your Savior, you become my brother or my sister in the Lord. And I know that many Christians will testify that sometimes that relationship is even stronger than their blood relationships with their own brothers and sisters in a bloodline because of what Christ has done and uniting us together. And Paul's addressing that right up front. Yes, he is a Gentile, but yes, he is my brother. He is a believer in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he doesn't stop there. He also says that he is a fellow worker. In America, we have this consumer mentality where revolves around ourselves, right? And we wonder, what's in it for me? If I come to church, what am I going to get out of that? I want to choose a church that benefits moi, me. And we do that all the time, but what Paul is saying of Epaphroditus, he didn't come with a consumer mentality. He came with a giving mentality. What can I give? What can I offer in service? Do you realize this church, and I'm sure you do, but I don't think you think about it enough, would not exist, this service would not take place if we didn't have fellow workers. I started thinking through what was necessary for this hour of service to happen today. And I'm going to miss some, so excuse me, and I apologize already. We had cleaners coming in this week. So you didn't have things that you had to trip over or things that you left from last week in your way. We had musicians come in. They've actually had two practices before each service. And so they come in and they practice to get ready. We have technology individuals. We have our sound people and our PowerPoint people and our announcements that you saw running earlier and all those things, those don't just fly up on their own. And I'll tell you, I don't do them. Okay? Those aren't because I've put all that effort into. Others have come in and done that. Secretary work has been done. So the announcements and that you know what's happening. And I made announcements today about signing up for these things and that things. And how do all those things happen? It's not by a miracle. It's by fellow workers. Ones who take care of those things. Children's workers, teen workers. That we have children working, children workers working right now with some of our young people. What did I say? You don't laugh at my jokes, so I know if you laugh, it had to be something I messed up, okay? So whatever. We have security people working just to provide for your safety while you're here. We had refreshment. How many appreciated the donuts? Somebody was bringing their young child in today and said he thinks that the only reason we come to church is for donuts. And I thought, that's what I thought. We have greeters that greet. We have ushers that usher. And the list goes on and on and on. I didn't count because I don't know how to count. How many individuals, how many workers provided so that you could consume today? So that you could benefit from all the things that they had done in order to make this service happen. That's a valued church member. That's one that Paul says is Epaphroditus. He was a fellow worker. And then he goes to the next step and he says he also is a fellow soldier. Now that has to do with the going gets tough. This one keeps on going. He doesn't quit when there's enemies, when there's difficulties, when there's problems that arise. He stuck to it. So from Paul's perspective, he looks at Epaphroditus and he says, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. Remember, you're coming to Rome because Paul's on trial and could lose his life. That means that you might lose yours too if you're associated with him. So he has all these things going for him. That's Paul's perspective. But then he lists the perspective from the Philippians. And he says that they recognize this valued church member as a messenger. He was bringing a message from Philippi to Paul. Remember, Paul started the church at Philippi. Do you think he was anxious to hear how things were going? Well, of course he was. And so Epaphroditus comes and he lets him know. He says, you know, our church is struggling a little bit with unity. Say, how do you know that? Well, he talks about it in the first part of this chapter. That he wanted them to strive to be one. Later on, he's going to talk about two women that were having difficulty. And how did Paul know all that? Well, because of the messenger. Because Epaphroditus filled him in. And so Paul could write back to encourage them and direct them in the right way concerning those things. He discovered, because of the messenger, that they were concerned for Paul. And they would have sent this earlier, but because of circumstances, they couldn't. And so Paul got filled in all on this because he was their messenger from the church. Do you realize that you're a messenger for Christ and East Arlington Baptist Church? When you leave here, you have a mission that you're on. And the mission is to broadcast the gospel, the good news, to those that need to know Christ. We are his messengers. We valued church members are messengers. They're ambassadors. They're missionaries carrying the gospel to those that need to know. And then he describes them as a minister. This word minister here has the idea of priestly service. So it's not just ministering to Paul's physical needs. Epaphroditus, just a layman in the church at Philippi, somehow, Paul says, ministered like a priest would minister to my needs. He had to be a godly man. Can you imagine helping Paul spiritually? I wouldn't want that job. I would love to be Paul's disciple. I would not want to be the one who discipled Paul. But he is giving him that kind of a emphasis. He was a member who was helping other people grow spiritually. So if you look at this and you say, what's a valued church member? If you had this character, you would be valued in any church, anywhere. Because of Epaphroditus, Paul said all these. But he didn't just talk about his character. He also talked about his compassion. And I love verses 26 and 27 because you just see his heart. Just laid out there. He says, since he was longing for you all. You know, when you look at Epaphroditus, you think, well, he's being sent by his church and he's coming 600 miles to minister to someone else. Isn't it nice to know in his heart he's saying, I'm going to miss my church. I'm going to miss my brothers and sisters in Christ. And he was longing for them. I'm amazed that Paul puts this in such a good light because you remember, as soon as I remember his name, I'll let you know. John Mark, who on his first missionary journey longed to be home so much that he left? And remember how Paul wasn't all that excited about that then, was he? Later, he says some good things about John Mark. But that was the split in the second missionary journey, whether to take John Mark again. But here, he recognizes Epaphroditus' compassion for his church. Maybe he learned, I don't know, by this time concerning John Mark. But he said he was longing for you all and then was distressed because he was sick. No, he was distressed because they knew he was sick. So I don't know how they found out if he passed somebody when he was sick and they took that message, or when he got to Rome, somebody else was going that way. Camel Express, I guess, took it there. Whatever the means was, they finally got message that he was sick, and his concern was that they would be distressed, that they would care too much. And so he's distressed that they were distressed because he was distressed. I just like saying it. That's why I did it. Okay. Do you see the compassion here? Do you see what's going on? Paul says, for indeed he was sick, almost unto death. Why did Paul give us this example of Epaphroditus? I think the reason that he did was because of what he said at the beginning of chapter 2, that there was somebody who, not to the point of death, but actually came to death for the sake of somebody else. Do you remember who that person was? I think it was Christ who said, when Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, but didn't try to meet his own needs, but met our needs. Well, Epaphroditus is a perfect example of this. He came almost to the point of death. He was doing it for the Lord. He was doing it for others. He made that journey, and he almost suffered to the point of death because of it. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should sorrow as others who have, unless I have sorrow upon sorrow, the Apostle Paul says. So he had great compassion. This is one that's hard for me. I'll be honest with you. How do you have compassion for people that don't deserve it necessarily? Well, you say, well, who doesn't deserve compassion? All of us. We've all sinned, right, against God, and he showed us compassion when we didn't deserve it. And so it's easy to be compassionate with those that are compassionate towards you, but what about those that aren't? Valued church members are those that just have a way of comforting, and they're people of mercy. I'll be honest with you, I'm not all that merciful, but I'm working on it. And I'm trying to learn to be more and more compassionate towards those that are going through difficulties or going through hardness or hard times. And so we need to have that as a part of our lives as well. So he had character, he had compassion, and we already talked about this, but he had community. In the last verses, Paul decides, I know you sent him here with a gift. You sent him so that he could minister to me while he's here. But I think it would be best not to keep him, even though it would benefit me, Paul's saying. Again, the example of the beginning of the chapter. Even though it'll benefit me, I think it'd be best to send him back. And so he says, therefore I sent him the more eagerly. And when you see him again, that you may rejoice. I'm sure in the back of Paul's mind, he's wondering, now if I send him home early, are they going to think I didn't like what he was doing here? Are they going to think that he gave up in the middle of his assignment and didn't finish it? So he's clarifying very clearly, I'm sending him back even though I want to keep him. Even though he has fulfilled what he was sent to do and would continue to do so, I'm sending him back so that you will rejoice. Because right now I think you need him more than I do. And I will be less sorrowful if that takes place. Then verse 29, he says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem because of the work of Christ. He came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. What a reunion that must have been as he came back. Paul says, when he does, there better be rejoicing. There better be gladness. There better be celebration. Why do you come to church? Besides donuts. We take vacations once in a while, and I'll be honest with you, I miss church when we're on vacation. Now, there's a curiosity in me that I like attending other churches just to steal their ideas. And so there's that aspect when I'm in church. But I look forward to coming back because we are family, because we're community, because this is my home. That should be what should be true of all of us as church members. And the Bible goes so far, Jesus said, they will know you are Christians by how good of a church member you are. Well, sort of. They'll know you're Christians by your character, your compassion, your community. That all plays into it. But if that isn't there, then we can say the conclusion is they will not know that we are Christians. So there's a lot at stake here in our desire to do what God wants. So are you a valued church member? That's your question to ask. Ask yourself and evaluate yourself. But do you have that character that Epaphroditus had? Do you have that compassion? Do you have that sense of community that he had as well? What kind of church would my church be if everyone in my church were just like me? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for your truth, your word. I thank you for Epaphroditus, a man who in so many ways represented a true friend for the Apostle Paul, a true minister in the church of God. And I just pray you would help us in being that kind of a Christian, especially in our home church here, where we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.